From fasting to feasting, part two of our study in this text from Esther chapter 6. Just one thought and a sub-thought. The turn of events, verses 1 to 14. And the key thought for us from this is God is still on the throne. In the lives of God's people, there are times when imminent danger befalls them, and God's people are at a loss what to do. It is in those seemingly precarious situations that God's people will experience God's faithfulness. He will be with us in trouble, as the psalmist testified in Psalm 91 verse 14. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. The Jews in exile in the Persian Empire were faced with imminent destruction, as we saw in the last chapter, by a decree that the evil man Haman had crafted. Haman's hatred for the Jews was vehement, and the time was ticking, because the decree has already been passed towards their ultimate destruction. And so, as you think of the scenario, if you are part of the group of Jews who are waiting for the coming of the death sentence, just to think that all is lost, as you think of the magnitude of the problem that was confronting them. A king's decree. The king's decree cannot be overturned by anyone. And therefore, it is really a precarious situation. And it is in those times of testing, in those times when, as it were, you are faced with a high wall in front of you, and you know that danger is behind, that God wants us to see that He is still on the throne. Here in this chapter, we will see a turn of events. Dear friends, in every trouble, may we remember that our God is very present with us. You may be going through some testing in your life right now, and you find that it has reached a point whereby you are at a loss, don't know what to do anymore. Well, the Lord's encouragement to us as we study this text is that He will hear our prayers. May we pray on, and His strength in us will increase. He will show us the way ahead, and He will help us to overcome yet again. His grace is sufficient. His presence is sure. And your deliverance in His time and way is certain. And therefore, we are to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage, and He shall strengthen our heart. As the psalmist said, wait, I say, on the Lord. Israel is God's chosen people. As a people, they were the apple of His eye. They were very precious in the sight of God. As Moses would put it in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10 to 12. He found him in the desert land, Israel, and in the waste howling wilderness He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. God wants us to know, as we study this text of Scripture, to see the hand of God moving behind the scenes, the unseen hand of God working out His plan to take care of His people. And therefore, it gives us confidence before God. And this is our thought that we want to consider, the turn of events, that God is still on the throne. Verse 1 says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then the king's servants that ministered unto him said, there is nothing done for him. It is interesting, just the night before the feast, after the decree was passed to kill all the Jews, that the king had insomnia. And we want to submit to you that it is God who gives to us sleep. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And those times when we are awake because we cannot sleep, what do we do? What do you do? Those times when God did not give you sleep, when sleep seemed to have evaded you. Well, the psalmist also tells us, let us not wander, let our thoughts wander off, and let our troubles overwhelm us. But as the psalmist says, stand in awe and sin not, commune your heart with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. The Lord wants us to be still before Him amidst all the difficulties that may be causing us to lose sleep. Well, meditate upon the Lord, on His faithfulness, on His goodness. And so this royal insomnia led the king to review the historical records of his empire, and how he discovered that he has been saved from the assassination attempt by the two courtiers, but he had not done anything to honor his benefactor. And this man is the man who, you know, one of the main characters who was to die. And so the king said, who is in the court? So right at that moment, it's interesting that Haman came to the audience of the king. Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And so just when the king was thinking to honor Mordecai, Haman came in. But Haman had the intention to ask the king to hang Mordecai. And so for Mordecai, not to his knowledge, he was really in a precarious situation. He could lose his head the next moment when Haman would seek the consent of the king to bring Mordecai to the gallows. But what happened? Well, God acted before. God allowed the king to have insomnia, and God allowed the king to read that portion of the past history of the country that he forgot to honor this good man, Mordecai. And so, the topic was on this man, Mordecai, and how God overturned the situation. This is the turn of events to show us that truly our God knows everything that is happening to us. He is in control, and we as His children can be assured of His care for us in our life. And so you ask yourself, as the proverb said, to cause us to read the events in life and trace it to God. That God is the author of all things. Without Him, nothing comes to pass. And so Proverbs 16 verse 33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." In your assessment, well, in the life of the unbeliever, they would think that life is a lottery. And they would think that events occurs by chance, by coincidences. Is that so? As we read through this text, as you see how the events just take place at the right time, the right words, you see that there is an invisible hand, God acting in the shadows. Jesus says, "But you realize the very hairs of your head are all numbered." God wants to expose this myth that life is not a mere chance, but life is God in charge. And you see that this story was written to teach us, the people of God, to depend and trust God as He fulfills His will in our lives. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." God works out all things according to His purpose. And so we see that as the children of God, we have an inheritance from our Father. And that inheritance is the heavenly kingdom that our Lord Jesus said He has gone ahead to prepare. That mansion that when it is ready, He would come and He would receive us and He would bring us there. May we learn to pray in those times of anxiety, in those times of testing, in those times of affliction, to ask God to help us trust Him. And that anxious thoughts concerning the future may be taken away. You said it is easier said than done. But if you were to look at the events that took place in this chapter, you'll be able to see God is very much in control, and God really cares for His own people. And God cares for you. And therefore, you can be sure that He will do something to help you. So we watch here the turn of events in verse 5. "And the king's servant said unto him, Behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, Let him come in. And so Haman the villain was brought to the audience of the king." And here is the climax of the drama. Surely, this is it. The villain come in. He's going to meet the king. He has already built the 23 meter high gallows. The next thing is to just get the decree, and that's it. And so verse 6 tells us, "So Haman came in, and the king said to him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" He was not aware that the king wanted to honor Mordecai. He thought that it was him. Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to himself?" This is the irony of the story. This is the twist or turn of events. Right? Haman thought that the Lord or the king is going to honor him. But instead, the king gave the honor to his enemy. God overturned the events. Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the golden, the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Haman's suggestion was like, you remember the story of the prodigal son who came back to the father, how the father was receiving him with all that he has to put it on him. And the son, you see, came back with a contrition of heart. But for Haman, it was a bombshell. Verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate, and let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." So imagine the shock that must have come upon Haman after all the scheming and the plotting. Everything backfired upon him. In this story, we learn how we sow what we reap. We sow evil, we reap to the whirlwind. And so the Lord wants us to be careful. Proverbs 26 verse 27 says, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." This proverb is a simple picture of a man digging a pit to catch someone else to fall into it, but at the end, he himself was caught. He fell into it. Or the picture of a man trying to roll a stone on someone, and how the stone rolled back. He was destroyed by the stone. Proverbs 1 verse 18 to 19 describe well the plight of Haman. "And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." What was he doing? Well, he was trying to destroy Mordecai for no apparent reason. Just because the man doesn't greet him, he has to kill him and all the Jews together with him. Oh, that is certainly very unreasonable. No normal person with the right frame of mind would do such a thing. There's the modern English expression from Hamlet, "Hoist with his own petard." The petard is a notoriously unreliable war machine that used gunpowder to work. And the evil man who was lighting up, you know, it's like a situation in a cartoon. He tries to light up the fuse, and when it exploded, well, instead of sending the bomb out, it exploded upon him. You know. And here is a warning that we be very careful that we learn how we ought to do good. And for this man Haman, truly he was up to mischief. If you look at the life of Christ, this week we begin the Passion Week. Yes, Sunday was Palm Sunday, and today is the day when our Lord Jesus was betrayed Wednesday by Judas Iscariot, and how Jesus went to the cross. You remember how the king sent his guards to guard the throne or to guard the tomb after Jesus was crucified, and how he died. They buried him because he said that he would rise again the third day. And so they guard it to make sure that this doesn't happen. But what happened on that Sunday morning? Well, the tomb was rolled open and Christ rose again from the dead. And so as you think concerning how the enemies of God go about their self-defeating endeavors, we want to realize that we are the children of God. And as the children of God, you know that you are precious in the sight of God. If you continue to walk with Him, you continue to follow Him, continue to do His will, God will not fail to take care of us. Verse 11, then Haman took the apparel of the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourned, having his head covered. Haman was very disappointed because his plan failed totally. Not only was Mordecai not crucified, but now you see Mordecai being uplifted as an important person, as you would see in the king's court. And just at that moment, the summon came from Esther for Haman to attend the banquet. What can we learn from this whole episode? It is that our lives are in God's hands. We are to daily surrender ourselves to Him and commit our lives in His hand and seek to do His will. And we can be sure we receive His unfailing care. We are His people. And even when we stumble, like Mordecai, you know, in his own, perhaps you may say, arrogance, he did not acknowledge Haman, and yet God overturned the events. May the Lord encourage the hearts of His people to know that He is still on the throne. That come what may, we will have the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We will be more than conquerors through Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word in Esther chapter 6. We see how the turn of events showed Thy marvelous hand protecting and very much overrule evil in Thy providential care for Thy people. O Lord, may Thou help us to take heart and be encouraged to continue to trust in Him. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.